sun became black as sackcloth of high of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of the heaven fell onto the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Now, chapter 7, as I said, I only read when I go through the sermon. Let us now turn to the book of Joel, chapter 2, which is a similar incident describing the sixth seal. Verse 10, and then I'll skip and go to verse 30 and verse 31. So the book of Joel, chapter 2, please. Joel is two books after the book of Daniel. Chapter 2, verse 10. Right, verse 10 says, the earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. And then I skip, I'll go to verse 30 and verse 31. Verse 30 says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and the awesome day of the Lord. And then the next passage is taken from Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. And I'll read from verse 9 to verse 13. Isaiah chapter 13 verse 9 says, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinner from it. Verse 10, for the stars of the heaven and their constellation will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will hot the arrogance of the proud. I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden witch of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of its place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. That ends the reading. Father, we thank you for the many passages that we have read, Lord, the different parts of the Bible, and Lord, it's now pointing to the number six seal. So I pray that your Holy Spirit will open our eyes and grant us understanding as we read, Lord, these verses. And I pray that, Lord, that your servant will speak your word with clarity and with simplicity, that the people may receive your word with gladness and with understanding. So Holy Spirit, come and open the scripture to us, that our eyes may see and our heart may receive. And Lord, you are here, welcome here, Lord, to speak into our life, that we may become, avail ourselves as the chaste brides for your second coming. And so Holy Spirit, come to glorify the Father and the Son, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Today's sermon is installment number 8 from the book of Revelation. Pertains to seal number 6. The title of my sermon for this is seal number 6, cosmic shaking. So far we have covered the breaking of the first 5 seal. Let's quickly recap. In the first seal, the white horse and the horseman is about the propagation of deception by the satanic spirit. And second seal pertains to the red horseman, and that triggers the outbreak of wars, conflicts, and bloodshed. Third seal is the black horseman, or the horse, It speaks of widespread famine and hyperinflation. And the fourth seal is a pale green horseman, and it speaks about massive death inflicted over a quarter of the earth, and caused by war, hunger, pestilence, and also Mexico by beastly leaders. And seal number five, we just covered last week, pertains to the persecution of and the martyrdom of Christians. And so seal number one to seal number five are already open, and it remains open. As I said, they come in many waves and with breaks in between since the year AD 90 when this book was written. However, the world events will become global and reach some form of a climax during the 7-year tribulation period. And today we are to find out what is seal number six. And so I will read again seal number six from verse 12 to verse 17 from Revelation chapter 6. He says, I look when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the ground or to the earth as a fig tree drops its late fig when it is shaken by a mighty wind, and the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the rich men, the great men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rock, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And so in the opening of the sixth seal, it introduces a new dimension that we have not seen before. So there was a great shaking of the heavens and the earth of unprecedented proportions. This is the most spectacular phenomenon that will happen just before the 7-year tribulation period. And so the breaking of the sixth seal causes a cosmic shaking. First, the earth shakes violently. An unprecedented mega global earthquake breaks out. It is so humongous that it totally shifts the geography of the landscape of planet Earth. One click, please. Thank you. Two, every mountain and every island is moved out of its place, and many mountains and land become submerged under water. And many seas become dry land and hills and mountains. In fact, the Dr. Samuel Doctoran, the late prophet, was very specific in his prophecy. And he saw a vision, and he saw the continent of Australia being split into two big land masses. When this mega earthquake happens, there will be many territorial disputes between nations. And it will make the latest Google map totally outdated. And all the GPS points for navigation and nuclear strikes will be unusable. It not only affects the road and air navigation, but also our daily electronic communication, because some of the satellites and underground sea cables will be damaged. And three, the sea and the wave roar. You can read this from Luke chapter 11, verse 25 to verse 26. You can expect many mega tsunami. So not only God shakes the heaven, he shakes the earth. The sun became black, the moon turned red. That is the fourth occurrence. And then the fifth thing is many meteors and stars that start to fall off the heavens to the earth. Next slide, please. And I call this the big cosmic blackout and disturbances. And so this is not only confined to the sun and the moon, because thousands of stars and meteors are going to fall from the heaven to the earth. And then the sixth thing is there will be volcanic eruption. Besides a global earthquake, the sun became black and the moon turned red. Joel chapter 2 verse 30 to verse 31 mentions about the pillars, the fires and the pillars of smoke. And so this refers to the volcanic eruption spitting out the fires and smokes And this eruption will spit out massive ashes into the sky, cutting the sunlight out and causing the color of the moon to turn red. And so this sun blackout may be due to environmental factors rather than the loss of sunlight per se. Now this differs from another occurrence, which is the blackout in the later part we call the trumpet judgment number 4, where the sun loses 1/3 of its light. And then number 7, the sky is split up and receded like a scroll. Now in what way this can come about? A good possibility is this. It's like the aurora polar lights that you normally see near the north and the south pole. And in seal number 6, the Lord is also shaking the very foundations of the earth. The mega earthquake is caused by the huge movement of the tectonic plates below. And this causes a big stirring in the movement of the liquid iron mantle below the earth's surface and will affect the north-south magnetic field. And with the solar wind charged particles entering the earth's atmosphere and under a sun blackout condition, it will create a sight of a sky receding like a scroll, like the picture that you see there. This is a rural light that you see in the north of the South Pole. Now, when people see all this apocalyptic phenomena, they will be so awestruck by this horrific scene and that they know that God is about to pour His wrath on earth. Unlike all the other previous first to the fifth seal, this sixth seal is not open yet, because the sixth seal will be broken just prior to the 7-year tribulation period. Now, the main reason why I say seal number 6 is not open yet is because the scriptures say so. In verse 12, it says, there was earth, means a singular event, earth, a particle, a great earthquake, and it qualified. This is no ordinary earthquake that you see on and off and on the earth. This is a super mega earthquake. And then there will be sun turning black and the moon became red. And so there are many other incidents. So it's a conjunction of many big phenomena that happen within a short period of time. And that is why this particular seal distinguishes itself from all the other previous seals, number 1 to number 5. And so, if you can remember, there was people who claimed that 2014 and 2015, the blood moon tetra, they say that it fulfilled this scripture. That it's not, because if you read carefully into this scripture, it is nowhere near what is mentioned in seal number 6. And so the sixth seal is a very special God kind of event. And in this very dramatic scene, God is sending to mankind a very special clear message. And so the question I want to ask is, what are the purposes of this cosmic shaking in seal number 6? One is to give Christians a hope and a very clear sign of Jesus' near return. Now Jesus says so in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. He said, when these things begin to happen, He said, look up and lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. Now when you see the great shakings of the heaven and the earth together with the many flashes of light in the dark sky, it is a very awe-inspiring sight for Christians. It will bring to remembrance when Jesus already told us in the gospel many times about His second coming, how it will look like. He says, for just as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew 24:27. So it is like watching a mini preview of the sign of Son of Man at His second coming. And it is also not coincidental that the shaking of the earth and the luminaries in the sky, the sun, moon and the star, is related to seal number 6. And so, the second thing is, Seal number six is another subtle sin, hint rather, of the 6 days of the six or the 6,000 years that is allocated to mankind. Now, as we know, God created the earth in 6 days and he rested on the 7 days. And so this is very prophetic because one day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, 2 Peter 3:8. And so in this prophetic typology, God has also God has given mankind a period of 6,000 years to work out redemption on planet earth. And so the number in seal number 6 is another hint or confirmations of the 6 days that is allocated to mankind. And so when seal number 6 is activated, it is a clear sign that the human history will soon come to an end and thereafter enter into a period of rest, a millennium rule. And we are currently approaching near the 6,000 years after Adam. And number three, the great shaking of the rulers of time, the moon and the stars, is a sign that the time allotted to man is about to end. Now, we all know that the movement of the earth and the moon around the sun governs our time. In fact, Genesis chapter 1 verse 16 says, God made two great lights. The greater light, which is the sun, rules the day, and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night, and he also makes the stars. So in seal number 6, God is initiating a great shaking of the rulers of time, the moon and the stars, the moon and the sun. And in this great shaking, God is alluding to the fact that the 6,000 years allocated to mankind is about to end. And then the second purpose is to grant unbelievers a chance to repent. No one can deny that this great shaking of the heavens and earth is a God thing. It is not just an ordinary thing. It is so dramatic that it is a God thing. And God is giving the unbeliever a chance to repent through three clear signs. And first, the cosmic shaking shows that all visible things are shakable and temporal. Now, we are very accustomed to a natural world that is being very stable. But a cosmic shaking is coming that will rock everyone's world, literally. And so here, God is speaking clearly to the shaking of the heavens and the earth. Because many thousands of stars and meteors will fall off the sky. And this great earthquake is not localized, is not regional, but is going to affect the whole world. And so the whole world feels the shaking of the earth for a short period of time. Hear this clearly. It is not only confined to Australia or to Europe or to America or to, you know, Asia. The whole world will feel the shaking for a short period of time. Now, I personally have experienced two physical shaking in my lifetime, and it was so terrifying and scary. The first incident was during my National Service days, live firing exercise in Singapore. In Singapore, we have to do National Service for 2.5 years. Now it's 2 years. And so during one of these live firing exercise, our team was about 200 meters away from a simulated enemy location. And before attacking the hill, the artillery support team was pounding many bombs at the enemy location about 200 meters in front of us for about 10 minutes. And the whole ground that we were standing was shaking. And it felt as though any time the ground below me could just break open and we just slide into a pit. You have to be there to experience it. Not only the ground is shaking, the sound was so terrifying. And then the second incident, when I was in Wellington, New Zealand, working in an office 10 story high. And suddenly there was an earthquake. And the whole building actually shook for about 1 to 2 minutes. And we have to quickly take cover under the desk. And so it felt as though at any moment the 10 story building, you know, could collapse and you could be killed or buried in a big pile of concrete. And it was so scary and terrifying. And those of you who have experienced real earthquake can relate to what I'm saying today. And so you could not trust the ground beneath your feet. A great earthquake and the falling of the stars and meteorite of this scale reveal the instability of all visible things. And seal number 6, shaking, show that every visible things on earth are shakable. Earth is but man's temporary dwelling place, and permanency is not until eternity. The things that are seen are temporal, that the things that are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. And so the only thing that cannot be shaken is the everlasting kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 12. And these shaking are very telling, at telling men to seek God and things of eternal value. And so that is the purpose of the shaking. And then the second sign that you can see in heaven is the sun becoming black as a sackcloth. It's calling men to repent and to mourn. And under this seal, the sun becomes black, has the appearance of putting a black sackcloth. I won't be surprised that when that day comes, all the news media will report such an incident. You say the sun is as though putting on black sackcloth. And whenever people mourn, they put on a sackcloth, a black cloth, as a sign of mourning. And so the sun is like putting on a black sackcloth of mourning. And it is a clear sign in the sky for all to see. And it calls for men to mourn and to repent. And then the third sign is the moon becoming black. And it is a sign of redemption. Moon becoming red. A sign of redemption. Normally, the moon is often spoken as silver moon. Right, that is the normal color of the moon. Silver was used as an atonement money in one of the Old Testament ritual. Exodus chapter 30, verse 11 to 15. However, not many people, including Christians, are aware of this ritual. And sometimes when God designed all these things, you know, He put a specific color to tell us certain things. However, when the moon color turns red, it will gain far more attention. And I believe that when the day comes, it is not just an ordinary red. It will see really like blood red. And so the blood red moon is a sign that God puts in heaven to say, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. And the red blood moon is a sign of redemption, of atonement. And it is telling the world that redemption is only possible through the blood of Jesus. And so I believe when the day comes, there will be conversation like this. And it's an opportunity for Christians like you and me to share with those unbelievers when we talk about the blood red moon. And the fourth sign is the world see a sign, a fearsome lamb sitting on a throne in the sky. Now, normally an image of a lamb is seen as being gentle and meek. It is strange that somehow the world at that moment can see a vision or an image in the sky, a lamb sitting on the throne having a very fierce countenance about to mete out his wrath. How is it that they can see this image or vision in the sky? Now again, this is very possible because at times when we see a thick formation of clouds in the sky, we can see some strange images or vision in the sky. And sometimes when we are driving, my wife said, look at the dark cloud. Can you see the, you know, silhouette of an elephant or a silhouette of a lamb? You know, things like this. And so all these four signs that I mentioned, all right, are sending a clear message to the world, calling and giving them a chance to repent before Jesus returns, because they only have about 7 years more to go. Now, in fact, the Bible says that the awesome sight of all of this, like, strike and great fear of God in their heart. Now, instead of running to God for mercy, many believers, if not all, want to hide themselves in air shelters and caves. Now, to me, this is a very sad passage. Even after such an obvious God event, the hearts of the wicked are so hardened, they simply refuse to repent. The third purpose of the shaking, possibly restore the earth to its original calendar system. Now, before Jesus starts the millennium rule, God will restore all things on earth. In fact, the scripture, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to verse 21, read it this way. It says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things." Then Jesus will come back. And so at this juncture, God may restore the earth from a 365-day calendar to a 360-day a year calendar. Now, in the book of Revelation, from chapter 8 to 19 onwards, the tribulation is split into two halves of 3.5 years. And in all mention of the time period, it always references 1 year as 360 days and 1 month as 30 days. So, for example, in Revelation chapter 11, during the tribulation period, God is going to send two witnesses or the true prophets, and they are given the ministry of 1,260 days. And based on a 30-day month calendar or 360-day year, that translates into 3 years and 6 months. And then in Revelation chapter 12, it says that the woman, which symbolizes the church, fled into the wilderness to be fed by God by, again, 1,260 days. Again, that equates to 3 years and 6 months based on the 360-day calendar. Now, even though technically, now we have 365 and a quarter days per year, the Old Testament writings have always talked about 360 days, year, and a 30-day month. And since antiquity, the days of Adam, the astronomers, the architects, and the engineers have always divided a circle into 360 degrees. And so why is the earth giving or having an orbit of 365 days around the sun? It is believed that after the great Noah flood, the earth axis and its placements around the sun has been slightly altered. And since then, it might have caused an orbit from 360 to 365 days per year around the sun. And so when seal number 6 happens, instead of a great flood, we now have a great shaking of the heaven and the earth, because we are going to have a great global earthquake. And the catastrophic shaking of the heavens and many stars and meteors are going to fall and strike on planet Earth. And so this may have altered the Earth placement and its orbit around the sun, restoring it back to the 360-day year and the 30-day month. Now, where's the scripture that may suggest this? It's not only an educated guess. If you remember, I read Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10 and verse 13. Says this. Verse 10 says, "For the stars of the heaven and their constellation will not give their light, the sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause it light to shine." And verse 13 says, "Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger." So it looks like is referring to this particular incident. The earth will be moved out of a place. So it is possible that this may happen. I cannot be 100% sure, but this is an educated guess. I'm done with chapter 6. I'm now going into Revelation chapter 7. And can you turn with me to Revelation chapter 7, please? I'll read verse 1 to verse 8. Thank you. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 says, after these things. Now you see that it's sequential. After these things, right? It says that, that means after the seal number 6. I saw the four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the tree, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their forehead. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. The tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. The tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. And of tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 sealed. And of tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. The tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. The tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed, and the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed, and the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed, the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Now, having read all those things in details, if you study in detail, you will notice that the two tribes were missing. The tribe of Dan and the tribe of Ephraim. Now, I will explain why they were missing later on. Now, here in Revelation chapter Revelation chapter 7, before the seventh seal is opened, that means in chapter 8, before the seventh seal is opened, there is an interval, there is a break to answer the question, what will happen to God's people during the coming tribulation period? And so the first half of the chapter 7 is about a select group of Jewish Christians. Now, God has not forgotten the Jews. Before the four angels next go about to inflict the four consecutive judgments, the trumpet judgment on earth by the blowing of the trumpet, one angel that comes from the east came to interject these four angels. And he said, hold on a minute, I need to seal the 144,000 Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel first. And so, now, the 144,000 Jews is actually a small number compared with the 14 million Jews in the world, out of which about 5.5 million lives in Israel. So, it is only about 1% of the whole Jewish population. Very, very small. And so in this chapter 7, God is bringing out a message and he's contrasting between two groups of people. And so in this first group, it says that these 144,000, they are the seal company of people. They are marked with the seal of God. That's number one. Number two, they are chosen from the 12 tribes of Israel. And number three, the 144,000 is a literal number. But at the same time, it is also a representative number. And so, first it is literal because 144,000 of these Jewish people, they are marked with and sealed for two things. First, they are protected from harm and danger during the tribulation period. And then second, they are commissioned for special service to evangelize the earth and especially to the Jews with the gospel. And then the fifth thing is they are also representative of a group of Christians who will be protected during the Great Tribulation. Now the rest of the group which is going to be protected, they may not have this special calling to evangelize, but they are protected. And so this is also representative. That's what I'm trying to explain. And so this number, 144,000, now has been exploited by many cults. Now it does not mean that only 144,000 will be saved and go to heaven, as claimed by the Jehovah Witness and many other cults. Besides the 144,000, in the second half of chapter 7, which we'll read later, it shows that there are also an unnumbered multitudes also in heaven. And now let me explain why in the 12 tribes, the tribe of Dan and Ephraim, they are missing. Now in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy chapter 29, around verse 20, God said that anyone involved in idolatry, their names will be blotted out under heaven. So if you read the Old Testament, during the time of Judges chapter 18, the tribe of Dan introduced idolatry to the people. And then another period of time during the era of the king, when Israel was split into two kingdoms, King Jeroboam led the northern kingdom into idolatry. And he was from the tribe of Ephraim. And he introduced counterfeit God and priesthood. And therefore, these two tribes who caused Israel to apostatize were excluded and not protected during the times of tribulation. That is the reason why they are omitted. And then now I'm going to read the second half of Revelation chapter 17. It says that after these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and honor and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then verse 13 says, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And so he said to me, 'These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and wash in their robes, and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" Now, let us now look into the contrast here in verse 9 to verse 17. So there is another group of saved believers, a great multitude. The contrast is this. This group, they are not marked with the seal of God. Number two, they come from all nations, tribes, people, and tongues. Number three, they are not numbered, as I said. And they went to heaven, clothed with white cloth, a white robe, worshipping the Lord. And so one of the elders asked Apostle John, "Do you know where they come from?" And John replied, "Sir, you know." And the elder replied, said, "These are the believers who died as martyrs in the great tribulation period." That means, number four, they are not protected, and they have to go through the great tribulation. And then number five, and therefore this represent the unprotected group. And so when you draw a contrast on this table, you can see what is the message that is coming out. Nonetheless, they end up in heaven, and verse 16 says that they shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. Why? Because during the great tribulation, no one can buy or sell anything without the mark of the beast. And anyone who refused, they will experience hunger and thirst, famine. And then verse 16 says that the sun shall not strike them nor any heat. Why this statement? Now, if you If you read carefully, during the Great Tribulation, they'll suffer great sunburn arising from veil judgment number 4. And so even though they suffer much during the Great Tribulation, by God's grace, they made it to heaven. They became martyred. They did not give up their faith nor deny Jesus. And so when they made it to heaven, God will personally comfort them and wipe away their tears. And so now I'll come to the conclusion. Having read this, what is the life application for us? The question is, what makes one group protected and the other group not protected? Now, God does not practice favoritism. This is not a random thing. So how best can we prepare in advance so that we belong to the protected group receiving immunity during the tribulation? In other words, what criteria qualify us to be in the protected group? I will give you a few. First, keeping God's command to persevere, taken from Revelation chapter 3 verse 10. Because Revelation chapter 3 verse 10 says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hours of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. And so that is the scripture basis. And number 2, being watchful and prayerful, not weighed down with worldliness. Scriptural support is Luke 21, verse 34 to verse 36. It says, but take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that they come on you unexpectedly. So it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now the third criteria is taken from Matthew chapter 24. Now if you can remember, Jesus says that as in the days of Noah, so shall the days of his coming be. And he said there will be two broad company of people. One will be taken and one will be left behind. Two men in the field, one will be taken and one left behind. Two women in the mill, one will be taken and one will be left behind. Which means to say, not all Christians will be taken. Only those who are counted worthy. Now then later on, just the next section of the same sermon that Jesus preached, Jesus taught three parables. Now this parable was indicating who will be taken during the tribulation. There are three parables. The first parable is the parable of the faithful and the slothful steward. And so, Jesus is indicating in this parable that the faithful will be taken. And then the next one is the parable of the wise and the foolish virgin. We all know this particular parable. So Jesus is saying that the wise, means the diligent, those during good time will build up your spiritual reserve within yourself. You know, you will not miss out. You will be taken, unlike the foolish virgin who are nominal Christian, who will not be taken and they are left behind. And then the third parable is the parable of the profitable servant and the unprofitable servant. And in this parable, those profitable servants who use the gift that God has given them, they will be taken. And so that is the allusion in this parable. Now notice the word that is being used. Taken. Read carefully. There's a difference. Not taken up. Now people, when they read this word taken, they straight away say taken up. Now taken, there are two company. The one group is taken. Two company. One group is taken, the other group is not taken. Now of those that are taken, there are two groups. One is taken up and one is taken away. Alright? So read the word carefully. When you say taken, there are two groups. One is taken away, the other one is taken away. They are protected. The other one, the other company, they are not taken, but they are left behind, and there's only one group. Then they have to go through the tribulation. So that must be very clear in our mind. And so if you read later on into chapter 12, there are three groups of Christian. One is taken up, then the other one is taken into the wilderness, supernaturally protected by God, fed by God. And these two groups belong to that one that is taken. Then there's another group, or the second company, that was the first company, and the second company will be the one that will go through the tribulation and die for their faith. So I think things become clearer now. And so, if you are faithful, wise and diligent, you are profitable servant, right, that will qualify you for that particular group to be taken. And then the fourth criteria is being meek. You walk in righteousness and humility. Scriptural support and reference is Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 2 to verse 3. I'll read to you. And before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon them, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, he says, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility, that it may be you will be hidden in the days of the Lord's anger. And so if you are the meek, if you are the seek righteousness and humility, you'll be hidden in God during the days of his wrath. And so I trust that this sermon has enlightened all of us, make things a bit clearer, and may we be that watchful, prayerful, and the bride that is prepared for his second coming. May we be that chaste bride ready for Jesus' second coming. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Lord bless you. Shall we stand for the enclosing song?